You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how the heck are you?
Jeff, it's going all right. Another week by, which is good, but also not good because we had another week without baseball. So
yeah. For those of you who've never had a daily podcast about the Dodgers, I'm going to tell you, it's easier to do when the Dodgers are playing baseball. You know, believe it or not. But you know, we're doing our part. So we are here. We're going to talk just a little bit about the nonsense between the players and the owners. We don't want to spend too much time for fear of giving the impression that we care more than they do, even though we already know that we do, apparently. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dodgers' statement and decision about today now, Juneteenth. And we're going to talk about Clayton Kershaw's statement. And then we're going to talk about what we had planned to talk about on yesterday's episode. It got pushed back with actual baseball news, but as you guys remember, yesterday was the anniversary of Clayton Kershaw's no-hitter, and so we've been planning for a while to talk about that. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's start first, I guess, with the non-news. The Players Union countered the owner's proposal with a proposal for 70 games, some other little tweaks in their proposal, including allowing the owners to sell advertisements to wear on the uniforms, still had the universal DH, some different money numbers, but for the most part, the main difference was the number of games. And, you know, to a logical person, it looked like, oh, there it is. There's the counter proposal, and now we'll compromise in the middle, and everything will work out great. But unfortunately, the logical people are not the ones making the decisions, and apparently this was a slap in the face and a step backwards and an offense to everything that the owners found good and holy, and just shocking that the players would have the nerve to want to play 10 more games or something, right?
Yeah, very shocking that players want to play more baseball, that owners don't want to pay for more baseball. But I guess the disrespect part came in the fact that whatever Manfred was led to believe that he kind of had an agreement of sorts in place with Tony Clark and the MLBPA. For some reason that was the case. So the fact that the players came back with this counteroffer was the disrespectful part. And I guess the other part is probably, you know, the owners have probably seen or at least heard that all these players are saying when and where. And then, you know, now they're back to negotiating, which was mostly because of the grievance that was hanging over them. But I don't know. I feel like now we're at the point where it's going to happen. It's just, you know, going to be take a while, where before when I did think that, that wasn't the case. But now I do think that.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. It's pretty annoying. The difference right now, the difference between 60 games and 70 games is basically about $250 million total in salaries, which breaks down to, you know, $8.3 million per team or something like that. And, yeah, when you see how much of a drop in the bucket, $8.3 million is a lot of money to you and me, Vince, but it's just not to a billionaire. That's true. You're a high roller. But, you know, it's just not to these teams. And, you know, I don't know why they're not doing the compromise about deferring that money. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's ridiculous that it's a sticking point. But it is. And one thing we've come to expect is ridiculousness from this. So I think that's probably all we need to say about that garbage, right?
Yeah, I guess I would like, real quick, our thoughts on the patches. I saw a lot of pushback from it, and probably rightfully so. But I will say that that's eventually probably going to happen anyway. So it's kind of like delaying the inevitable if it doesn't happen. And it has happened on the basketball jerseys, and I don't even notice it, to be honest.
Yeah, and was it this past off season that they had the new jerseys come out with the Nike swoosh on them?
Yeah.
And I was very surprised that people were upset about that, because I didn't realize that there hadn't been something like that before. Don't they have logos like on their pants, right? Like,
yeah, Nike does on the
on their pants pockets, you know, and their shoes. Like, I couldn't care less that there's a Nike swoosh on the jersey. I didn't even notice it until people were upset about it. And the fact is, I won't notice ads either. And, you know, or even if I notice them, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't know why, but it just doesn't bother me at all.
And actually, you know, if you look at some of the Mexican League teams, some people might say it looks a little tacky, but I don't think it looks that bad. It gives it character.
Yeah. Yeah, and tacky isn't the worst thing in the world, you know? It beats extending commercial breaks, you know? So, all right, let's talk a little bit about more positive things, I guess. The Dodgers sent out a memo to all of their employees saying that today, Friday, June 19th, is a holiday for them, encouraging them to go out and do positive things in the community on this day in commemoration of Juneteenth, the anniversary of the abolition of slavery. And then Clayton Kershaw, I don't know if they were connected or not, but he posted on his social media a statement about Juneteenth and basically saying that he is on board with listening and learning and trying to be better and help his black teammates and friends and fellow Americans to enjoy all the same privileges that he does as a white man in America, I guess. Is that a decent summary?
Yeah, basically what it is. And, you know, I think the main part, you know, the positive part is that the conversation is continuing. You know, Kershaw is not a very public guy on social media. You know, it's mostly stuff for his foundation or family stuff if he ever does post. So, you know, this, wouldn't say it's out of character. It's just, you know, I don't know if we would have expected him to say something. So the fact that he did, you know, put something out there is good. David Price right away jumped on it on Twitter and you know, was quote tweeting it, and then Walker Buehler as well. So
Kenley Jansen,
in terms of that aspect, oh yeah, and Jansen. Yeah. So in terms of that aspect, in terms of the Dodgers, it's good. You know, hopefully this keeps going forward and you know, the conversation keeps pushing forward, especially in baseball and, you know, especially among the black players and they kind of, you know, finally have a voice in the sport that they've never really had.
Yeah, I like to see, I mean, I really do believe that there's so much more in all of this that unites us all than divides us. And it's good to see that coming out.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll wrap it up for this segment. In a minute, we'll be back to talk about Clayton Kershaw's no-hitter, which happened 6 years ago yesterday. But first, let's talk about Built Bar, which is happening every day, because if you need protein, and let's face it, who doesn't need protein? Built Bar is the way to get it. Most protein bars taste like garbage. They have to, in order to get all that protein in, they haven't figured out how to make them actually taste good. Well, Built Bar figured out how to make protein bars that taste good, and miraculously, they did it with actually less sugar, fewer carbs, fewer calories than what you get in the leading protein bars. So you should check out Built Bar. All you got to do is go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first box. That's builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your first box, and I promise you, you will not regret the decision. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, it's time for our obscure former Dodger Vince, and this one was recommended to me by a Twitter follower and listener to our show. His name, I don't know his name, but his Twitter handle is at LA Bum with 3 M's. And he recommended, I assume it's a he, his picture is a dog. So I'm sure it's not a dog, probably a person. But he recommended that I use Rafael Bornegal as the obscure former Dodger. So I am. Rafael Bornegal played with the Dodgers from 92 through 94. He was not good. Not the worst player in the world. And he had some defensive value at times in his career. But in the year that he got the most playing time with the Dodgers, 1994, 132 plate appearances, and he had negative value on both offense and defense, according to Baseball Reference WAR. He just was not much of a ball player, couldn't hit, and sometimes couldn't even field. Then the Dodgers traded him to the Expos for a guy named Chris Foster, who never made the big leagues with the Dodgers, did get a cup of coffee with the Orioles later. And and that was it for Rafael Bornegal's Dodger career. And he spent 3 years with the A's, 1 year with the Mariners. And that was it for his career. He's now 54 years old. The only real notable thing about Rafael Bornegal is that even though he was from the Dominican Republic, he went to college in the United States and was therefore subject to the draft. And he was drafted out of Florida State University in the 19th round in 1987. And made the majors, but didn't do much. You have any Rafael Bornegal thoughts?
I do not have any Rafael Bornegal thoughts.
Well, good. That's kind of the definition of an obscure former Dodger, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw's no-hitter. June 18th, 2014. We all remember it. We have the bobbleheads. We've seen the pictures. We've watched the replays. They showed it on MLB Network a couple weeks ago, and you and I talked about it then and said we should talk more about this game when the anniversary comes up, because it is still, I think, the best pitched game I've ever watched.
Best pitched game I've ever watched in person, and for sure probably best game pitch that I've ever seen in general. My story is just to preface it is, you know, it was a Tuesday night, and my cousin asked me if I wanted to go to the game the night before or the morning of. We said yeah, we got a group together, we sat in the all you can eat in right field, and at that point I try to make it a point to go to as many Kershaw starts as possible, just because that is always something that was possible back then, and you know, obviously he was dominant. So it all worked out for us specifically that night, but it was a journey, and that's back when I was working for Dodgers Nation. So I was actually in right field pavilion with my laptop tweeting the game as it goes along, and you know, that's the first time, like, in person. I'm, you know, you got to find the balance of trying to tweet the game and give it proper justice, but also enjoy it because you're in the moment. So you know, I had to figure out how to handle that, but I think I did it pretty well.
Yeah, and that was, I was not at the game. I had been at the game 2 days earlier, the first game of that series. I actually drove down with a bunch of young men who live in my neighborhood who I work with at church, all of whom now are adults and married now, but back then they were 16, 17 years old. We hopped in my car on that Monday, June 16th, and drove straight from our house in Utah to Dodger Stadium and watched the Dodgers beat the Rockies 6-1. And when Ryu pitched that game, and then on the 17th, Tuesday, we spent the day at Disneyland, and then the 18th, we actually drove home. And I got home about an hour before the game started. And so I had been driving all day, but I watched the game sitting on my couch here at home in Utah. And the amazing thing to me that I remember rewatching the game is Kershaw just got better as the game went on. His first two strikeouts were looking, and they were on fastballs. I think they were both on fastballs. And then his first swinging strikeout was on a fastball, but then he got that off-speed stuff working, the curveball and the sliders, and just making the Rockies hitters look foolish. And there were, like, there was one hard hit foul ball, and then obviously the play that why can't I remember his name?
Miguel Rojas.
Miguel Rojas made the nice play at third base. But even that, when I was watching a couple weeks ago, I was surprised to see it wasn't actually that amazing of a play. Like, it was a good, solid play, but it's not like he robbed Tulowitzki of a hit. It was just, you know, a good backhanded play at the line and a strong throw. But you know, it was a play that you expect your third baseman to make. You know, really, I mean, Kershaw just dominated the game from beginning to end.
Yeah, that's really the thing that you notice when you look back is that, you know, that play gets hyped up. But I think just for the sheer fact that that was really the only play that was even, other than, you know, the play that shall not be named, other than that play, that was really the only play that there was even a hint that there might be a hit. And, you know, as the game went on, usually I don't really care about no hitters or perfect games until after the sixth inning. So then after the sixth inning, that's when you kind of start to feel it. You feel it in the crowd. And then it, you know, it sucks that that play happened in the seventh inning, but then, you know, you're still on the right side of history. You still have a chance to see something that I had never seen up until that point in person. So, you know, and it's just cool how, you know, everyone kind of feels it. The, you know, it's not quite a playoff game, but it's a similar atmosphere. And, you know, there's just the whole stadium was buzzing after that seventh, eighth inning. And then the ninth inning was just basically like a playoff game. It was super fun to watch, super fun to be at. And like I said, it was just a dominant performance. I mean, looking back at it now, I mean, the Rockies weren't even close to touching. It was just like, you know, if Clayton Kershaw is facing like a high school or college team, it was, you know, one of those nights that it was his night.
Yeah, I've still never seen a no-hitter in person. Closest I came was actually at AT&T Park in San Francisco. The Giants and D-backs were playing, and Yusmeiro Petit had a perfect game going that was broken up with two outs in the ninth inning. And I was at that game, and it was kind of the same thing. It was like the fourth inning, and I turned to my friend who was there with me. I'm like, he's just dominating. And it's different, obviously, because it's Yusmeiro Petit, and he was, you know, getting weak contact. But I think through eight innings, Petit only had like 80 pitches or something. I mean, he was just cruising. But, you know, with Kershaw, it was even more because, I mean, the Rockies just couldn't hit him. He struck out 15 in the game. Just, you know, like I said, I don't think there were any hard hit fair balls. You know, I like one of the closest that came to a hit was actually a ground ball to Adrian Gonzalez that Gonzalez went to his right. And, you know, Kershaw covered the bag and got the out by a step or two. That was maybe the closest that came to a hit other than the Rojas play. But I remember it was after the seventh inning is when I went and got my son out of bed and said, okay, Logan, he's a huge Kershaw fan, always has been. He's always been his favorite player. And I said, okay, you need to be up for this. So I went and dragged Logan out of bed and we sat here. My mom was here. She had actually driven up that day too. So I have a picture. I was seeing it on my time hop today, looking at it and, sitting on the couch with my mom and my wife and my son and me, all wearing Dodger hats. We got a Clayton Kershaw bobblehead out just for good luck. And we sat and watched the game. And there was the pop-up, the pitch before, or a pitch or two before Dickerson struck out to end the game. There was a pop-up that A.J. Ellis went all out into the stands trying to catch, wanting to end the game. He couldn't quite get to it. Looked like he might have even hurt himself a little bit. And then just the moment when Kershaw got the strikeout. And my favorite thing, or my underrated favorite thing, is A.J. Ellis taking off his mask and making sure to toss it off to the side. Because a month previous, celebrating Josh Beckett's no-hitter, which Ellis didn't even catch, Ellis stepped on, who was the catcher then? The other catcher? Fedorovich, maybe?
Maybe.
Whoever the catcher was, A.J. Ellis in the celebration stepped on the catcher's mask and rolled his ankle and actually missed a couple weeks, I think. And so seeing him gently toss his mask aside before he went out to hug Kershaw, just, oh, man, like, that is one game. I don't generally like to rewatch games, but that's one game I'm going to watch it every time it's on TV.
And I think the other part, you know, after watch, you know, being in person, you don't see the broadcast, obviously. And then after going back and seeing the broadcast a few times and seeing all the replays, the way they covered it was just really well done. Obviously, Vin telling the story in the background is going to make anything that much prettier, just with him narrating it. But, you know, panning to Ellen and, you know, just living with the crowd noise and Vin, you know, knowing when to be quiet and when to say things. It's just, it's a really well done thing. And it's, you know, kind of crazy to think about. I don't think they prepare for no hitters, but they had just had one earlier, but that was on the road. It's a little bit different. So this one was, you know, it's, I think that's why it's also great to rewatch, just because, you know, the last few innings are kind of poetic in a sense, where everything kind of fell into place and they, you know, they did it justice.
Yeah. Yeah. Vin Scully, his call, like all of his greatest calls, are as much about what he doesn't say as what he does say. And this one, Vinny just said, "Got him. He's done it." And then he was just quiet. And he let the crowd cheer and he let Kershaw celebrate, you know, and then eventually he talked again. But, you know, the thing that was so great about Vin Scully is that he knew when to shut up. You know, it's the same way with Kirk Gibson's home run. It's like 1:08 of silence between "she is gone" and "in a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened." There was a ton of silence between those things. And it's just, you know, it's what made him so great. And or one of the things that made him so great. And I said on Twitter that night, I said, "Perfect games from two lefties tonight, Kershaw and Scully." You know, and that's one of the reasons I watch that game every time it's on, is because I'll never pass up a chance to hear Vin's voice.
Yeah, definitely one for the books. I did end up seeing another no-hitter at Dodger Stadium, but that was Jake Arrieta's, which very much, if I had already seen a no-hitter, so I didn't want to see one anyways. You know, if I hadn't seen one and it was against the Dodgers, I wouldn't have minded. But then that one with the weird play with Kike, it just wasn't the same.
Kike's base hit up the middle? Yeah. So, yeah, that one.
So I'm glad I got to see Kershaw's. And then obviously every time I think about it, I think about that play, how it could have saw a perfect game. But I won't get greedy. I was there. I got to see it. And it was, you know, something you remember.
Yeah, it's you know, I think about Armando Galarraga's non-perfect game and the fact that, you know, because Galarraga had his perfect game stolen by a bad call by the umpire, I think Galarraga actually gets more fame for the game as it turned out than he would have. I think people remember Armando Galarraga's game more than they remember friggin'
anyone else.
What's that dude's name? The left-hander?
Burley.
No, the guy for the Mariners. Who?
Oh, no. Cliff Lee? No.
No. I can't even remember the guy's name.
Felix?
Lefty. Kind of underscores my point that, you know, or let's say Dallas Braden. You know, there's a name I can remember. Armando Galarraga's perfect game, I think, is more famous than Dallas Braden's because it got robbed from him. And I think there's some element of that with Kershaw's. Obviously, I would much rather have Kershaw have the perfect game than just a no-hitter. But because it was a perfect game as far as he was concerned, it's kind of, I don't know, it's almost more memorable because Hanley cost him the perfect game.
That's a good way to justify it.
Yeah, yeah. Someday I'll remember that pitcher's name. Wow. I could see his face even. I had another point I was going to make, but now all I can think of is trying to remember that guy's name. Oh, but the other thing that, you know, maybe a good thing about Hanley messing up is Charlie Culberson made the second out of the ninth inning. And it would have been sad to have Charlie Culberson make the final out of that perfect game, because we have so many fond memories later of Charlie Culberson as a Dodger. And so, you know, I'm glad that it's Corey Dickerson. Was that his name?
Yeah.
I'm glad it's him that we see for that final out instead of Charlie Culberson, because Culberson just, popped up on the first pitch, I think.
Yeah.
That's
when Yasiel Puig used two hands to catch fly ball.
Yep. Yep. Phillip Umber, and it was against the Mariners in Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, White Sox.
But yeah, so I mean, that underscores my point, you know. Who remembers Phillip Umber? But we all remember Armando Galarraga. So you have any final thoughts? Like, this is a game I could talk about. Like, we could do a show once a week about this game, and I'd never get tired of talking about it. I'm sure people get tired of listening to me talk about it, but you know, that's more their problem than mine. But you have any final thoughts about this game before we wrap it up?
No. Crazy to say that the one final fact I have on it is that I wore a Clayton Kershaw, back when I would go to All-Stars, I wore a Clayton Kershaw t-shirt jersey that was given to me by an ex-girlfriend, and I still have that shirt and it still fits, so I guess proud of myself for that.
Well, good job. All right, yeah, I think that'll wrap it up for today and for this week. Hopefully this weekend, the two idiots in charge of the owners and the union will stop being idiots and get something done, and we'll have good news to talk about for Monday's episode. But either way, we'll be here Monday. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there to help other people find us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open in all of those places. You can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!